I'd like to begin the sermon today with three children's stories. A young child receives a gift, even a small one. And, as I said with the young ones, what do the parents do? Of course they say, make sure that you say thank you. That's the way we all are. We want our children and grandchildren to learn to have a sense of thanksgiving in their hearts for all the little gifts that life offers, and we begin to teach them young. Second story, Grandma and Grandpa arrive for Christmas. Everyone has been waiting for their arrival, and finally they come, bringing a huge carload of presents for everyone. And the biggest one under the tree this year is for the grandson. It's Christmas Day. He rips into the package and discovers a train set, which is immediately set up, and he begins playing with it, racing the train around the tracks as fast as he can. Meanwhile, the parents are persistently coaching their boy, make sure you say thank you to Grandma and Grandpa, which the child does with a cursory hug and a shout as he's happily focused on playing with his new train. The parents and grandparents would like more signs of appreciation, but oh well. And thirdly, it's birthday time, and Grandma and Grandpa send their annual birthday card to their granddaughter from a faraway city. And granddaughter tears the envelope open, barely reading the front page of the card. She merely glances at the poem inside and grabs at the money, the £10 note or £20 or maybe even a cheque. Granddaughter needs and wants that money. She's so very happy they remembered her birthday in this way. Mum says, make sure you write a thank you note to Grandma and Grandpa. A week later, the mother again asks her daughter to write the note, with the same lack of response from her daughter. It's now 2 weeks later, and there's conflict brewing. Mum is mad because that note has not yet been written. Sounds familiar? I know Claire's not there to answer it, but it's nothing personal. It's a generalism, of course. We all want our children and grandchildren and ourselves to have this deep feeling of appreciation inside, not out of duty, not out of politeness or being proper. Rather, we want them to know the deep felt appreciation for those little and even the big things of life. And this is a highly desirable quality. We want that miracle to occur in our children and grandchildren, the miracle of deep and genuine thanksgiving. And just before we focus on the gospel story for today, a quick mention about leprosy. It was the dreaded disease of Jesus' day. Just as we've had HIV, AIDS, and now cancer and coronaries are the dreaded diseases of our time. And today, none of us want to hear that C word from the doctor. And that's the way it was in Jesus' day. Nobody wanted to hear the L word. And explained with the children a lot about how it was, how it affected people, and how it runs today. And that's where organisations like the Leprosy Mission come in, because they, a Christian-based organisation, go out worldwide to help tackle the spread and effects of this disease. So in the story for today, a group of 10 lepers were in a small leper colony in a village somewhere on the border of Galilee, of Samaria and Galilee. These 10 leprous men were banned from living in town by the law of Moses. Now, if you want all the gory details, together with the regulations imposed, Leviticus 13 and 14. Headings, regulations about infectious skin diseases, regulations about mildew, cleansing from infectious skin diseases, cleansing from mildew, discharging causing uncleanness. There's about 5-6 pages. Not for the faint-hearted, and not something we do hear read very often in church, but the old traditional regulations are there. Generally, keep away from everybody else, and to be pronounced clean, you had to go to see a priest. So these men couldn't live with their families. They couldn't go to worship. They couldn't attend any of the important events of the community because they were a danger to the community's health. They had to live on the outskirts of town and had to shout the warning that they were unclean should anybody come near them. Now, not long before this, Jesus had healed a leper and the news had spread And these lepers too were hoping that Jesus would come by and perhaps one of them would be cleaned and healed. Jesus did come by and the lepers began shouting to him, "Have pity on us. We need your help. We need you." And Jesus did that something unheard of. He crossed the invisible 12-foot boundary that was always put in place and he came before each leper and spoke to them. The Lord Jesus, the great physician, showed compassion on all 10. He told them to obey the law's prescriptions concerning healing, show themselves to a priest. And as they hastened away like the Christmas Eve shepherds to see if the good news is true, see if they're healed, on the way, the lepers noticed their blotches began to disappear and they knew they were being healed. They were elated, ecstatic, free. Off they ran as fast as they could to see a husband, a wife they hadn't seen for weeks, to see a son or a daughter, a father or mother, a grandfather or grandmother they hadn't seen for months. Off they ran to see their field, their fishing boat, their oxen that they hadn't seen for who knows how long. As fast as they could go, they were so happy to be well after all this time. And no doubt we could well be the same. But one remembered. Only one returned. He fell at Jesus' feet, worshipped him, and thanked him. And Jesus said, "Were not all 10 healed? Where are the other 9? And only you, a Samaritan, a foreigner, you are the only one who's come back to say thank you. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." And we could probably spend the whole sermon talking about the difference between being made well and being cleansed. We could save that for another occasion. And where are the other 9? Is it true that healing the human heart of ingratitude is a greater miracle than healing the skin of leprosy? Why didn't they come back? And how do you heal ingratitude? Let's first have a quick look at the 9 lepers. They were probably very religious. They would be Jews, not Samaritans. They were religious as long as they needed God. That is, the lepers were shouting, "Heal us, Lord, we need you." But after they were healed, they felt they no longer needed God anymore. We can see that all the time. People crying out in pain of illness, bankruptcy, divorce. "I need you, Lord. My life is all messed up. I need your help, God." Shortly after, when the crisis has passed, life gets back to normal and they're not calling out to God anymore. People cry out to God in crisis when their need is desperate. When they needed God, they were close to God. But when they didn't need God, the lepers were off busy being well. The strange irony of the healing was to drive them away from God. Those 9 lepers were so busy being well. You can understand that. They'd been separated from everyone and everything due to the quarantine. And now they were free to return to those relationships. And they became so busy being well, they no longer had time to express thanks to Jesus. And the ultimate tragedy of this is that the 9 lepers got the healing, but not the healer. They experienced a miracle, but not the miracle worker. They received the gift, but didn't know and love the giver. Reminds me of the grandson I mentioned earlier, so busy playing with his new train at Christmas time, that he's not really aware of Grandma and Grandpa who came to see him and spend time with him and love him. Likewise, we as human beings can become so busy playing with our own little trains of life that we forget the God who has come to visit us, to be with us, to love us and watch us. And that's the real tragedy of the 9. They missed the true blessing. That is, they got the miracle and didn't discover the miracle worker who so enormously blessed them. But then there was the one who came back to say thank you, the Samaritan, the foreigner, the outsider. The gospel passage today makes an important point that the one who came back with a heart of gratitude was not a Jew. He was not part of their religious establishment. He was an outsider to the faith. And we know several stories in the Gospels where it is the foreigner, the outsider, the Samaritan, who's the one that's been as great faith or great thanksgiving. And so also within the household of faith, we can become used to God blessing and caring for us. We can begin to take God for granted. We begin to expect his blessings as our God-given rights. There is someone who hasn't seen part of the faith. They may be deeply grateful to God for even the smallest of gifts, for each of their blessings. When you become very familiar with someone, you often start to take them for granted. And that is what we often do with God. We take God's blessings for granted. So it's no surprise to me that it was a foreigner, a Samaritan, an outsider of that religious establishment, who was the only one who paused, who remembered, and who came back to Jesus to say thank you. The other nine expected God's blessing. And to ponder, would we have a heart of thanksgiving even if we had leprosy? Can I explain? Would we be whining, oh God, why did you make my life so miserable with this leprosy? What kind of God are you anyway to give me leprosy? Rather than that, our attitude maybe should have been, oh God, life is miserable. How I wish I didn't have it. But thank you for being with me. Thank you for giving me strength to handle this awful situation. Thank you for taking care of my family during this terrible time. People can have such grateful attitudes in the mind of suffering. Let me tell you a brief story that illustrates this. The story of a man by the name of Martin Rinkhart. He was the pastor of one congregation for 30 years. It was a church in Prussia from 1619 to 1649, during the 30 Years' War in Europe. From the year the war began until the year the war ended, he was the pastor in that same walled city. This was the walled town, so all the refugees from the 30 Years' War flocked into it, to find safety inside the city walls as the battles raged all around them. His town was overrun with poverty, the plague, and all the perils of war. It was awful. It was hell on earth. It wasn't at all like being a minister here in Newport. By the end of the war, he was the only pastor left in town alive. All the other pastors had died, so he alone was to bury the plagued villagers and refugees from war. Somewhere in the middle of all that suffering, he wrote a hymn, and we know it well. We sang it 3 or 4 weeks ago, my last service, hymn 182. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. What incredible sense of thanksgiving in the human heart, and how beautiful our hearts with genuine thanksgiving. The Gospel writer Luke goes out of his way at the start of this story to tell us that Jesus is on a journey to Jerusalem. Might not mean much at first glance, except that in Luke's Gospel, everything is leading to a climax on the cross. There, Jesus will do for all humanity what he did for these lepers. He will take what is cut off from God and others by sin, and will begin the process of bringing everything back into harmony, into wholeness. In the psalm that Moira read earlier, the greatness of God is the psalmist's theme. And this is demonstrated by God's actions in history. The prime miracle in the Old Testament is the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, followed by the return of the people from exile in Babylon. In both cases, God's greatness is matched by his grace, in that he uses his power to deliver people from their enemies. As the psalmist reflects on those challenging years in Egypt and exile, when they were oppressed, he can see that even this time was used by God to refine his people, to allow them freedom to worship him. And this psalm, in that sense, completes that circle. Furthermore, King Jesus at his word, all the lepers found in the obedience of faith their healing. As they moved, they were healed. So let's beware the curse of a passive religion where we do nothing. Our faith moves mountains when our faith moves us. A passive religion uses God as an excuse to do nothing. We need to step out in faith and trust God to make the difference. The greatest miracle is not to be healed of leprosy or cancer or coronaries. The greatest miracle is when a human heart is healed of ingratitude. So it is then filling with daily thanksgiving to God and to others for God's countless gifts of love. Please God, heal our hearts of ingratitude. Jesus said, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Amen.